Good morning, everybody. Everybody doing okay? Good. A couple of years ago, we started a little process around here in our Sunday school and a challenge to our Sunday school and to begin to move in a direction of growth in our Sunday school. And we have, to your credit, have done well with that process. We had a goal church-wide of having our attendance in Sunday school come up to 136 by the end of, to an average of 136 students by the end of December. And we are sitting on that mark at present. The further goal for the second year is to reach our ultimate goal for the two-year period, which is 196 at the end of December of this year. So from 136 to 196 is the hard part, okay? We got the easy low-hanging fruit, and now it's time to work towards the harder goal. In order to do that, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to put forth every man effort in order to make things work the way they should. So this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about that process. I want to talk to you about a particular piece of that process today, and to challenge us as a church to move up into our objective. Now, although it is a hobby of mine, I love to preach about things and people that aren't here. It doesn't do us any good when we do that, right? It does us no good to preach about what's wrong out there. What my job is to bring to our mind, to bring to our heart, the things of God so that we can be different as a result of it. I'm not the shepherd of those out there. I'm the shepherd of these sheep in here. And so that sometimes means that, you know, you think it's an accident that he talks about gossip or he talks about this or talks about the other and seems like in passing. But there's a purpose and a reason for that. Because obviously I've heard something or I know of something that's going on in a general way that needs to be addressed. You get that? So a lot of things aren't an accident. And we're not talking about people who aren't here. What we're talking about is people that are here and how we need to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. Amen? I'm charged with preaching the Word. The totality of the Word, not just the parts that I have a hobby on, not just the parts that I like, not just the easy parts. We're to go through a well-rounded teaching cycle with the Word of God. One of the reasons that I do book studies on Wednesday nights is so that I do go through things that I normally wouldn't go through. Look at things that I normally wouldn't look at and bring those things. That's why I encourage you, if you have other obligations and things that take place on Wednesdays where you're precluded from being here, I'd encourage you to go ahead and hit that website and pull those down because you're responsible for it whether you're here or not. Amen? Amen? That's what part of being a part of a church is about, is that we are our brother's keeper. We're responsible for each other and responsible to each other. And so when teaching is given and put out there in a format for us, then we need to make use of that. Okay, so that we can be better as a group. Enough on that. Okay? We're going to move back over into the Sunday school. I'm going to get to Acts chapter 5 here in a little bit. Acts chapter 5 is where we're going to start. But I want to start here this morning and talk about this little pamphlet that we have out in the foyer there. In this pamphlet, it lists our Sunday school classes. Also lists the location of our Sunday school classes, okay? Every member needs to be a part of a Sunday school class. There's absolutely no reason not to be a part of a Sunday school class. Every member needs to be a part of one, because the Sunday school is the heartbeat of the church. Okay? This is where ministry meets the road in the Sunday school, because it is an impossibility. Brother Oz, can you attest to this? Here's a man that's been in the pastorate. Brother Larry, here's a man that's been in the pastorate. Can you attest to the fact with me this morning that one man can't minister to these people? It's an impossibility, okay? That's why we need to have help. And the help around here comes in the form of Sunday school. That Sunday school ministers on that lowest level, on that group level. That Sunday school also is to be tied to that pastor, so that that pastor knows when he needs to be involved, knows what's going on in those Sunday school classes, knows when there's needs that arise in those classes. It's how it's supposed to work, how things are supposed to go. By and large, it's working pretty well here, okay? We've got the listings here. We've got some folks over in the nursery this morning that are serving unseen. Unseen and unthanked a lot of times for the service that is performed over there. We've got nursery workers. We've got toddler workers that are over there for the younger folks during this hour right here, as well as during the hour prior to this, okay? And so if I were to ask those folks to stand up here, well, some of those will be missing, obviously, because they're working and serving here this morning so that we can sit here and so our parents can sit here and get what the Lord wants us to have. Are there any nursery, toddler, pre-K workers here this morning? Teachers, stand, please. See, they have a rotation in that as well, and so some are off and some are on, okay? All right. All right, so right here we got a whole bunch of teachers. Look at me. Teachers, teachers, teachers. These are teachers in those areas. These aren't babysitters. These are teachers. They're ministering in that particular area. We have our kinder and first grade teachers here this morning. Kinder and first grade teacher. Here we go. Kinder and first grade teacher. Week after week, every week, month after month, year after year, these folks have been in their place. She's been in her place. Her partner's been, they're traveling this week, been in her place, teaching, serving in that spot, teaching your kids year after year. Second and third grade. Oh, I knew it was going to be hard for you. Second and third grade teachers in their place, week by week, studying, growing in order to impart the things of God to those second and third grade kids. Excellent, excellent job. Week by week, again. Fourth to the sixth grade. Fourth to the sixth grade. Here we go. The one that keeps him in line is holding the baby there. They're teaching along. Those middlers, kind of an awkward little area, and transitioning them from being babies to being part of a youth group, very important age group. They're not an unimportant age group that's in that group, in this group, but this one right here is a transition type of age. And so we're blessed to have our teachers in here this morning. I'm tickled to death that we've had all of our classes so far represented, and our teachers haven't run off. Awesome. Youth. Youth teachers. How many youth teachers we have here today? Youth teachers. Now I'm just talking in the Sunday school primarily right now. Youth. Sunday school teachers. Okay. Casey, where are you at? He's over in the office. And here and there and here. And who am I missing? I'm missing a couple of, we've got parents, husband and wives, that are teaching in our youth Sunday school department at present. And so they are expected to serve and minister together in that. And so we're tickled to have some of our youth teachers here this morning as well. Okay. Adult classes. We start with the newest class as the first class, the singles class. We've got our singles teacher here this morning. There's Max. If you don't know these people and don't know their name, get the little book. It'll tell you who they are. Singles class. This is a new class that's been started in the last couple of 3 months. And I've seen him grow as a result of teaching other people. He was already growing, but he's growing a lot more now. Now that he's having to prepare to teach others with that. Couples class. There is a couples class. Got our leaders for that class here this morning. And this is an all-age class. That's, again, a husband-wife duo that work together in that class and serve and minister and teach together with that. All ages, single, all ages from the youngest couples to some mature couples are in that class. And so a great range and a great mix with that. How about the Daniel class? Got our teachers for the Daniel class here this morning? Well, of course we do. Here we go. This is the men's class, okay? And these two guys here share that duty and rotate through and lead our men's class. Men's class is nicely attended and got some good teaching, good things going on with that class there. Let's take a look here at the Ruth class. Ruth class. This is a ladies' class, okay? Teaching in the Ruth class, ladies' class. That's single ladies and married ladies alike. If you are looking for singles classes, ladies' classes, this is one of those offerings. Mary Martha, another teacher that's been with it for a long time. Other teachers, long time with things in the Mary Martha class. That's a women's or ladies' class as well. And they'll welcome anybody that'll be a part of that particular class there. What about the, let me just stay with the ladies for a minute, the Above Rubies class. Teaching in the Above Rubies class. Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Another ladies class, and anybody and everybody's invited to be a part of that. I'm going to circle back to the other. Okay, the Revelation class. Revelation class. Again, husband and wife that teach that class. This is a single or a couple or just whatever in that particular class. And there's a lot of whatever, huh? And so you don't have to be married, you don't have to be single, you don't have to be whatever. This is an open class. For anyone that wants to be a part of what's going on there. Now, a couple of things that I want to make you aware of here before I get into the challenge part of this is we've got our middlers back here, Ashton and Holden. And Ashton and Holden have been, the Lord has been putting them in a drop toe hold for a while. And finally, they've kind of said, Uncle. And so what that means is to the uninitiated is that they've kind of surrendered to youth ministry. And so what that means for us is that we're going to be transitioning them from that middler group over into the lead role in youth in general. And so this transition is going to take a little while. And they are going to be administering that program and such as that. But there's a lot of things that are already in the pipeline because we've got a great youth committee, which has been taking hold of a lot of of that. And so what they're going to do is coordinate and move things forward in that area, which is exciting. That means that all of you youth leaders, youth folks that are teaching Sunday school, you're not fired. You're still on. And they're going to begin to tweak that process in that. So don't anybody think that you're now free to go fishing on Sunday because you got a new youth leader with that. So these are things that are in the works and things that are moving there. with that. Other exciting news is that the one of our ladies' classes, the Ruth class, is about to give birth to another class, in that there is another women's class that will be spun off from the Ruth class, okay? And this class is going to begin at the beginning of the new quarter, which is June, okay? And June in June with that. So there are two teachers in that class. One of those teachers is going to form a new unit, and then that will be the fourth women's class that we'll have here with that. So there's a birth coming with that new class there. There's some other classes that we could certainly use were the Lord to provide leadership for all of that. Now, I've said that there, and I want to recognize these folks that are here, and that everyone has been doing a good job. I've thrown a lot of stuff at these Sunday school teachers in order to get us moving on this objective of growing in a proper way with a proper foundation through the Sunday school. I've asked a lot of our Sunday school leaders and teachers here over the last year, and for the most part, they've responded. But now we're going to have to move into another phase. Not only do they respond, but we have to respond. It cannot simply be leadership driven. It has to be laity, rank and file driven from this point forward. If we're going to meet a large goal of 196 in Sunday school, that means we all have to be a part of it. We all have to do our part in order to move things that way. Now, I'm going to circle back to this starting of this new class for just a moment, because I get rumblings every once in a while about the preacher splitting classes. That just kind of brings to my mind splitting a church. And nothing could be farther from the truth as far as that is concerned. In the case of this class right here, let me give you the scenario, if we could, on planting a church. If we were to plant a church, what we would do is we would have to do the groundwork. We would have to do a lot of things to get prepared for a new church to go up somewhere, okay? We'd canvass an area. We'd look at resources. We'd look for places. We'd look for needs. We would do a lot of investigation before we'd go out to plant a church. But at some point in the process down through there, all the planning and all the looking and the picture taking and the riding and the praying and everything else has to take a human form. At some point, it has to go beyond thinking about it and doing it. Okay? And so if we were to plant a church and we had all that groundwork laid, and I come in here and I said, you know, we've been praying for a year now, and we've been wanting to plant this church over here, and now it has come time. And what we need are 10 families. 10 families to make a commitment for a year to go and work in that new church plant. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. You take one unit and you move towards building a new unit with people that are like-minded, with the right heart to move out and do exactly that. Are we splitting the church when we do that? We're forming something new and exciting when we do that. And what we're doing is we're asking people to be a part of something new and exciting. At the end of the commitment period, those individuals would be free to do what? Either return to the mother or to stay with the plant. You know what generally happens? Folks stay with the plant because they have invested heavily in that. They've invested in it. They've seen something birth. They've seen something grow. They've seen something move in the right direction. That's what generally happens. Does it have to happen that way? No. But this is the process. And so when we're looking at putting a new Sunday school class out there, we're not saying, coming in and the preacher goes, all right, you four, get your stuff. You're coming with me. You six, stay right here. All right? you're going to be a new class and you're going to be the old class. This is not what happens. What happens is that people that are mission-minded and like-minded and want to see growth take place say, you know what? You know what? This is bigger than me. This is bigger than me. It's not about me. This is about us. So what we have is in June is we got a new group, a new unit that's going to be formed. That brings me to another topic. These teachers don't own you. Teachers don't own you in that Sunday school class. Yes, you're on their roster, and they care about you, and they want the best for you, and they'll pray for you, and they'll serve alongside of you, and all of those things, but they don't own you. And so in a church like this, sometimes we get this idea, well, I've locked myself into this class, and I'm just going to have to die in this one. And dying I am. Why do we have different classes and different teachers and different folks? So that if it's not working for you, so that you can be in one that is working for you. Okay? And so what we don't ever want to do is make people think that have this green-eyed monster show up that says that these are mine, don't mess with mine, because they ain't mine, they belong to the Lord. Amen? And I'm a shepherd of these. And under shepherds you are of these folks in here, okay? So we need to break out of some of the possessiveness and such as that that goes along with Sunday school. As long as you're on somebody's roll, they're going to be ministering to you. And they want to see if you move across to another class, then they're going to follow you long enough to see that you're plugged in over there, okay? That's the way it's supposed to work in churchmanship. That has kind of fallen by the wayside anymore, where you have church membership and you go to someplace else and you call for your letter back at the old church. You thought that's the way things went today, wasn't it? Didn't you? Some of you. Nothing like that don't happen anymore, hardly. Very rare that somebody calls for their letter at another church. When they would call for a letter at this church, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag on some things right here. You see, what kind of church member you are here, I expect you'll probably be over there. And if you're a troublemaker over here, guess what? I want that preacher where you're going to know you're a troublemaker. Huh? Just the same as when somebody comes over here, I want to know where they come from. That's why I do firm foundations. I want to try to figure out what's going on with somebody before they get over here and start stirring stuff up. See, because this ain't about us preaching about them. It's about us and what we're doing. Now I'm off track there with that. Sunday school. Being where you need to be. Being free to be a part of something else that's under the same umbrella. I mean, everything under this umbrella ought to be heading in the same direction. Yay? Nay? Okay? So the Sunday school process. Teachers, all of you stand up again. Teachers, 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 teachers. Look at all them teachers. Not nearly all of them yet. How many of you, how many Awana teachers do we have that aren't in this group already? Awana teachers. Teachers in Awanas. Some more teachers. How about VBS teachers? Do we have any VBS teachers here? Wow, we're getting some more and more and more. What else? What other group am I missing? Where else we got teachers? Huh? I'm missing a group somewhere. What group is missing from that right there? I don't know. Bible studies, Bible studies, Bible study teachers, okay? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, Bible study teachers that we have, okay? Now, are these the only teachers we have here? Is this supposed to be the only group that's supposed to be teaching here at this church? Well, good. Have a seat and let's look at that for a minute. The heartbeat of this church is these Sunday school classes, okay? When you don't put yourself in those classes, when you don't put yourself into that group, you're withholding yourself from this group, okay? You're withholding yourself from ministry, serving, and being served when you decide that you don't want to be a part of that, okay? This is the base level of church membership. This is where it all really comes down to, is in the Sunday school. Okay? So I want to encourage you, if you're not a part of one, to be a part of one. Get started. We have plenty of offerings for every different group. Get started. If there's not one for you, start one. Huh? If there's not one that is fitting the bill, maybe you need to talk to the Lord about starting the class that needs to be started. Amen? But be a part of that. Now, you teachers, this idea of being possessive of students and all that, yes, there's a fine line on that. Fine line is that, yes, when they're coming, we're committed to them, they're committed to us, and we need to make sure that we don't drop anybody off of that, okay? We need to make sure that we're doing our job on that. But at the same time, we don't want to be possessive with our students in this. Now, beyond that, if we're going to grow and we're going to get other people in, then we have to open our eyes. And opening our eyes means looking around here first, which we have done a pretty good job of. We picked the low-hanging fruit to get into our Sunday school classes. Look around here. Listen, when a guest comes in to be with us, there ought to be somebody or somebodies in every one of these classes that's looking. And looking on a Sunday morning. If you're a guest with us this morning, I don't want you to think that you that you've been eyed up real bad this morning. But listen, we love you and we care about you. And we want to minister to you. And we want to help you. And the only way we can do that is to get you in a place where you can be helped. Okay? And so what I'm encouraging our folks to do is look and make sure that you see when folks are coming so that we can begin to minister to them. They ought to be invited half a dozen times to a Sunday school class anytime somebody comes in here as a guest. We ought to be over-inviting and making sure that nobody leaves out of here without a personal invitation to be a part of something special on a small group level, okay? You say, well, we can offend somebody by asking too much. I'd rather do that than never say a word and somebody walk out. I'd rather over-invite than I had under-invite anybody. I'd rather be over-friendly than under-friendly. Right? I heard a testimony this week of a couple that had visited this church many moons ago and had an unfavorable experience and then visited again and had a favorable experience. I said, well, what made you visit the second time? They said, the idea is that there was a it was convenient, but the experience was different the second time. I'd rather be over-friendly than under-friendly. The reason given for the first time to spurn the church was because it was under-friendly. And the reason that they're still at the church today is because it was over-friendly on that second visit. Okay? So, look around. Your Sunday school classes need to work at this. Take a look at folks. Be on point. You can't be off point. That's what I'm talking about, getting everybody working again, right? If we're going to meet 196 from 136, everybody has to be looking. Everybody has to be watching. Everybody has to be ministering. Everybody has to be moving in the same direction, okay? Ask the question, does everybody teach? Are these all the teachers that are in the church? Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. I want us to look at verse 40. And it says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." The high priest wanted to kill the apostles. That's what he wanted. He wanted to kill them, and a fellow by the name of Gamaliel came in and said, "No, let's not do that." And if you read the lead up to this, he brings some examples. He said, "You know, there was this guy one time that brought a bunch of stuff out, and we went out and we did our thing, and the next thing you know, those believers just kind of soaked back up into the woodwork." And he gives another example about the same thing. He says, basically, he says, if you do that to them, if you do this harm to them in a way, if you kill them, then what's going to happen is you make a martyr out of them. There's going to be people that are going to be hanging on because of that. He said, here's a better idea. Why don't we just beat the tar out of them, tell them not to do that no more, and turn them loose. And that's what they did. And so they beat the tar out of them, turned them loose, and said, don't do that no more. And the first thing that they did is they went to preach and went to teach. They went back to doing what they had been doing before in earnest. And it says they did so every day. Daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to preach and to teach and to preach Jesus Christ, the good news. So they were unstoppable in their obedience to proclaim the Lord, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The lesson: no matter what, we have to obey God. And we should do so by proclaiming and by teaching Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. Amen or oh my. Is this just for the apostles? Because it says it was apostles that this is talked about. Huh? Well, in its context, it's talking about the apostles, right? But is teaching just for the apostles? Let's go look somewhere else. Ephesians chapter 4. Are the apostles the only ones to teach? Well, we answered the question a while ago. Are the Sunday school teachers the only one that's supposed to teach around here? You said no. We come to Acts chapter 4, and we find out that apostles are supposed to teach. Are they the only ones? And you've told me no. I agree. Let's move to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Looking at verse 11. And it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." These are gifts to the church, is what he's talking about here. Kind of like that. Gifts to the church. The gifts to the church were apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What are these gifts to the church given to the church for? Here's the reason given. We don't have to wonder. Why is your pastor teacher given to you? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he gave pastor teachers to the church in order that they might perfect the saints, which is train you, teach you, train you to do what? To train you to do the work of the ministry. To train you to do the building up of the body of Christ. You see the Greek in this place, those little fours that connect that up in there, there's some nuanced differences in those fours. You have ace and pros that are used in the Greek there, and those connectors for these terms mean specifically that my job is to train you to do the work of the ministry. My job is to train you to do the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. That's my job, to teach you to do so. So is the Sunday school teachers and apostles, eyewitnesses there, and pastor teachers, are they the only teachers in the church? Are these groups the only teachers that are supposed to be in the church? Well, you've said no, sort of weakly. Let's move forward and look at another piece of the story, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, where we're studying on Wednesday nights. In Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to look at the 12th verse. We'll start at 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Of whom there is Christ. Of Christ we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In this place right here, now we get down to the crux of the matter. And the crux of the matter is that we're all to be teachers. Every one of us who are born again, every one of us who are believers are to be teachers. Everyone. And we want to quickly make a distinction that we say, you know, that we have these teachers and these positions and all this sort of thing. And we want to elevate that to such a degree that we forget that everyone is to be a teacher. Everyone is to be in the process of growing in grace and growing in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we are to teach this world that is around us. Daily in the temple and in every house, we're to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. We are teachers, everyone. We ought to be growing. And by virtue of that growing, we ought to be sharing what we're learning. And sharing it with anybody that'll sit still long enough for us to put it out there. Okay? Now, this is not talking about just getting people into heaven. This is talking about every area of life. This is talking about teaching across the spectrum, shedding light on subject after subject. And the only way that you can do that is to have a working knowledge of what the Lord says about these things. And so you must be a student in order to be a teacher. You must be a student of the Word in order to teach the principles that the Word puts out there for us. It's a sin to neglect any part of the oracles of God. You hear me? It is a sin to neglect any part of the oracles, the Word of God, any part of the oracles of God, any direction, anything that is put out there. It's a sin to ignore that. Our study and our obedience in the things of God is not to be selective. Right? When God addresses it, we are to learn from it and to grow and to exercise in that. All right? We don't have the privilege of saying, well, I don't like that. Or I don't want that. Or I don't care about that. We are to study, and our obedience is not to be selective with regard to the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, who rightly divides the word of truth. That's what's talked about over in verse 13, that everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of God. If you stay baby-like in your faith, if you stay baby-like in your study, you stay baby-like in the way you're going about things, then the Word says that you are going to do things unskillfully. You're going to unskillfully use the Word of God. We can't be selective. We're to study all of it. We're to gain skill. We're to gain knowledge. It's not to store it up, but to use it. We get it in order to teach it. And that's not just in here. This is talking about out here as well. When we get out and interact with the world, this is the time to show what we've been learning, to give out what we have taken in, to give the good news, and not just the good news of how you get to heaven, but the good news all the way around, shedding light out here in the places of darkness. Okay? Teachers. We ought to be teachers. We ought to be in a position of learning and growing so that we can be teaching others that are out there. We have to get it ourselves. We have to get it ourselves in order that we teach others. And teach others we must. Got it? Teach others we must be engaged in. Every man, talking about humans, every man is a teacher. But are we bringing folks into the light, or are we adding to the darkness? False doctrine's everywhere. And false doctrine has to be addressed. It needs to be addressed wherever it shows up. Now, I probably wouldn't suggest that you go down to the Kingdom Hall and sit in on one of their services and address it there. I wouldn't suggest that. But that doctrine shows up in someplace else, it needs to be addressed. They want to get behind the wall down there and shout it to each other, that's one thing. But when it's out in the public forum, this is a place where we address those things. It's everywhere. Teachers always to be in teach mode. 1 John, one of my favorite verses right here, one of my favorite pieces of Scripture. 1 John chapter 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." He's talking about rubbing elbows with Jesus Christ. He's talking about getting straight from the horse's mouth right here. "For the life was manifested, and we've seen it." He said, this life burst upon the scene and we saw it. We were right next to it. We lived with it. We ate with it. We breathed the same air. And we're bearing witness. I'm telling you what I saw. I'm telling you what I learned. I'm telling you where I'm coming from with this. And show to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare. There's teaching. There's teaching. "Declare we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you." That's another declaration. That's another teaching that is being put forward there. "That your joy may be full." Reason being that we teach and that we put light out here is so that there can be fellowship with the greater community, and so that we can all go in the same direction, so that our joy can then be full. How full is your joy when you know that there's people you love that don't know the Lord? How full can your joy be in that situation? That joy comes whenever this community works the way it's supposed to work. Where light has fellowship with light and not with darkness. And where light dispels darkness, and we're pulling in the same direction, unified, in harmony, putting the good news out there. Teaching it every place that we go. Teaching it to anybody that'll sit still long enough to hear it. The more we learn, the greater our humility ought to be. Jesus knows you. He loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. A big part of an altar, you know, we talk about having an altar call, and we have a time dedicated at the end of a service here. Folks come to an altar. A big thing about an altar is, you know, and I talk about, you know, if you have this need, or you want to do this, or you want to thank the Lord, or whatever else, come and use the altar, a dedicated place. It's not any virtue in the altar. And I go through all this spiel time after time and all that sort of thing. But a big thing about an altar really and truly is this. I was wrong. I was wrong. And you were right. I was wrong, and you're right, Lord. Humility. That's the big thing about an altar. That's the big thing about responding at to an altar. It tells everybody that we've been rubbing elbows with, I'm not afraid to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. I was wrong. This needs to change. This is a direction that I need to be in. I was wrong. You are right. You are right. And I want to go your way on this matter. It's a big thing, being taught. Humility. The oracles of God are the instrument of our sanctification. And they're to be received as the instrument of our sanctification. We are through the Spirit of God to learn the truth. And then earnestly and constantly obey that truth by the same Spirit. The more a Christian learns of the greatness, the goodness, the wisdom, the love of Jesus Christ, the deeper his passion becomes. And the deeper his passion becomes to pass it on. Not bottle it up, but to pass it on. To let other folks in on what it is that has turned their life around. Instead, how many times do we want to find ourselves discrediting or shooting the messenger instead? Why am I here? To preach to the world out there? I'm here to bring to our mind the things that we need to work on. I'm here as an instrument of God to work in this group. It called me to fix them. We fix what's wrong in here, and things out there fix themselves. Because when the church leaves here and goes there, then the teaching continues. The teaching continues. Our flesh is on the warpath, and it don't like it whenever we get confronted. Our flesh does not like to be humbled. Our flesh will scream and kick and fight if we don't, and we need to do something about it. We ought to know enough of the truth of the gospel to enable us to be teachers. We ought to have enough interest in other people to compel us to teach. We ought to have enough loyalty to Christ to trigger our responsibility to teach. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I got two verses and we're done. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Teaching. Learning yourself. Getting what you need and what is necessary for you, and then passing it on. Being faithful to pass on what you've learned and what you've been taught. We got far too many folks in our Christian circles that have the mentality, "You can save me, but don't tell me what to do. Lord, you can save me, but don't be telling me what to do. Don't be telling me how to go about it. Save me is fine. I want to go to heaven just like the next guy, but don't be trying to get into my life and messing with me on these things." And that's going to be a problem. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission. It says, go ye therefore, and what? Teach who? Teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What's the next word? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. See, that's the whole point of it right there. Whatever he's taught you, you're to go teach. When he teaches you, you go put out what he just gave you. Right? So how do we do that? How? Three simple things that I want to leave with you this morning, and then I want to talk to us just again about that Sunday school thing. How do we do that? Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Not just reading for recreation, not just reading for distance. Get in the Word and let the Lord teach you something. Let Him show you something. Let your time in the Word be a meaningful time. Get in the Word. You stay in the Word. Secondly, stay humble. Correctable, teachable. And thirdly, share what you learn. Give out what you've been given. Teach others. That's what witnessing is about. Witnessing is sharing what you have gleaned. That's what 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 is talking about. Here is what happened. Here is what had happened to me. And I'd love for it to happen to you. Let me tell you about who He is. Let me tell you about what He means to me. Let me tell you how He can make a difference in your life. Let me tell you what I know to be true of Him. Because ain't nobody can discount what has transpired in your life. Teach others, witness, share what you learn. Here it is. Here it is. Live what you learn. Live what you learn. Live it. Who's a teacher? How many teachers we have in the room today? Got a whole bunch of teachers in here. You know what? There's always somebody you can teach. I don't care how old you are. Huh? I get tickled sometimes. We got little guys about this tall here in the school. Little guys about this tall here in the school that go home and teach mom and daddy about Jesus. They go home and tell mom and daddy about Jesus. Go home and tell mom and daddy we need to pray for our meal because we need to thank Jesus. Don't matter how old you are. Don't matter how big you are. What you're learning. What you got. Need to teach. Need to teach. All teaching isn't necessarily a position, but every man needs to be a teacher. Every one of us. So, how are we going to make 196? How are we going to reach a goal that we have set a year and a half ago? We're going to all have to teach, that's why. How? We're all going to have to be on teach mode. We're all going to have to be involved. We're all going to have to be unified. We're all going to have to be moving in the same direction to get this done. We're going to have to be faithful. Be faithful to what the Lord has called us to. Amen? We're not talking about that. We're talking about this now. Let's get where we need to be and move in the direction that we need to be in. And let Him give the increase. All right? You see, that's the beautiful thing about teaching. I don't come in here to tell you what my opinion is about that. My opinion don't matter, okay? It's the power that anyone has in this room is what we pass on of the Word of God, because there's power in the Word of God. There's not power in my words. It's the Word of God that has power. And so when we're teachers, we pass on. We're just a vessel. We're just a medium through which the Word of God is to travel. The life of God is to travel. We're to be the hands and the feet and the mouth and everything that Jesus wants us to be. That's the reason he left us here, right? He left us here to do that and to be that, because otherwise you get saved and you just go to heaven, right? He left us here for a reason, so that he could live through us. Live the life. Teach the life. Work. Do. Be. See. Tell folks what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you've handled of the things of God. And that, my friend, makes a difference in this world, not what your opinion is. There's power in the Word of God, so be a teacher. Be a teacher in your homes. Be a teacher in your school. Be a teacher in your church. Be a teacher at your work. Be a teacher everywhere you go. Meet it head on. Meet it head on. Meet these things head on. Live the life. Live the life. Now we got work to do. So you teachers, we need to get with the process. All right? Get with the process. Get with your Sunday school teacher and be a teacher's helper. For all that we've got going on. Amen? Need some teachers, helpers in every one of our classes here over the short haul. Our goal is 196. We're sitting about 136, 140 right now. We got a summer to get into. We know how that's going to go. Everybody takes a vacation, does this, that, and the other. I just pray you don't take a vacation from God. That's all I'm asking for with all of that. But as we retool for the fall, and the return of school and all those things, and get everybody back in their place. Friend, I want to see us make that push like never before. I want us to get ready to put things in place so that we can push come the fall to see what can take place as we get after everything. These service projects that you're doing and such as that, reaching folks outside the walls here, fabulous. Stay with the work. Stay with it. It'll be worth it in the end. Listen, you be faithful where God's put you, and let him deal and worry about the other parts. But just be faithful with what you're doing, and we'll see if he won't increase you as a result of that, okay? So let's be faithful, and let's see what he can do with some folks that are determined to move ahead with the Lord. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to come in today and Lord, as a church, Lord, to speak candidly and openly. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you have moved and worked through our Sunday school. I see so many positive things that are taking place. Lord, folks that are growing, folks that are moving, folks that are out desiring to be those that would dispel the darkness with the light of the gospel. I thank you so much, Lord, for the way that you're moving. Thank you, Lord, in that you're moving on people's hearts and lives and changing their direction and Lord, their yieldedness, Lord, in these areas. Lord, it is a blessing to be able to see that. So I thank you for folks that are listening to your voice and responding, Lord God, in humility, desiring, Lord God, to be used of you in whatever way, whatever way. So, Father, I pray that you would continue that. I ask you, Father, that you'd help us to unstop our ears. And, Lord, help us not to be dull of hearing. Help us, Lord, to be teachers and teachable. And, Lord, not those that just cry like babies. Lord, that cry like babies and want to be tended to. Help us to grow up and learn to eat a little bit on our own and learn to teach and learn to do some things, Lord God. Help us not to be stunted in our growth. Help us to be those that would want to move ahead with you. And so, Lord, we're going to open up what we call the altar here in a minute. And, Lord, now that I've pointed out, Lord, that it's a humbling thing, I pray, dear God, that you'd give strength for folks that need to make use of being yielded here this morning. Lord, we're not going to be any good to you unless we're yielded to you. So, Father, I just ask you to help us yield as a group, yield as a church. I pray, God, that you'd break down the walls of pride that have kept us from doing some things, kept us from moving to places we need to be moving, kept students locked into places maybe where they didn't want to be locked into. I pray, God, that you'd help us to yield to you in everything here this morning. Lord, that we might be pleasing. For Father, that's why you put us here, to be pleasing unto you. So Lord, we desire to be pleasing. Help us to be different. Help us to change. Help us to look to ourselves before we look at the world around us. Help us to tend to the things that we need to tend to in our lives. And Lord, we're going to continue to praise you. We're going to continue to love you. And Lord, be desirous of you helping us as we serve. So Father, I just want to commit these things to you. I ask you, Father, further, that if there be one or two or three here this morning that don't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, Lord, that folks that you've been working in their heart and bringing them to the place of understanding their lostness, I pray, dear God, that you'd shine a beacon of hope here this morning. That, Lord, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the light. You expect yieldedness. We can come just like we are today, but Lord, when we leave different. So I pray, God, if you've been working on someone in that way, that Lord, you'd bring them to the end of themselves this morning. Lord, that you might take up and take off from that point. So Father, whatever the needs are here in this room this morning, whatever the commitments need to be, whatever the vows need to be that need to be made this morning, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to make them. That we'd be yielded unto you, that we might be teachable and in turn teach. For we pray that in Jesus' name and amen.